Well, g'day, mates. It's me, Grapes for Eyes Jordan. This is my co-host, Wrench Koala Daniel. Today, we're in...
Was that pirate eye? Oh, no. I was going for Australian.
Oh. I didn't want to try Australian.
Here, hold on. Let me try again. I'm keeping this in, by the way. I'm just going to try again.
G'day, mate. I'm Grapes for Eyes Jordan. And this here's my co-host, Wrench Koala Daniel.
It's October 19th.
Of 2019. This is Patient Pliers episode 11. Crikey!
You're much better at that than I am.
It's a podcast about gaming and the slow lane. Enjoying favorites to our favorites.
I'm sorry. Enjoying updates. Oh my gosh. Okay. Welcome to Patient Players episode 11. You know the drill by now. I'm Jordan. He's Daniel. It's October 19th. Spoopy month is halfway done.
Oh no.
I know. But I'm glad it's almost
a spoop done. So brief
cuz all of the best all the best parts of Spoopy month come at the end of the month anyways. So
that's true.
I have decorations, a
birthday to celebrate at the end of the month.
Really? Whose birthday is it?
It's my wife's birthday.
Happy birthday, wife.
Yeah, the spoopiest of holidays when I have to go buy gifts.
Ooh, for your wife of all people.
I know, right? So like one of the perks of being married is that she's way more thoughtful than I am. So I don't have to think as hard about gifts for everyone because usually she's figured something out. Uh-huh. But when it's her gifts, I can't do that.
You can't like open up her brain while she's sleeping and kind of just look through the files?
I haven't done that in a while. She's got a good firewall now.
Ah, frick. You should you should know your way around these things. This is your job.
She's been working on some emotional security, you know, keeps that brain locked up tight.
Emotional security? No. You gotta be vulnerable with your spouse. Come on.
Yeah.
How many years have you been married? Just one? Okay. You'll learn it eventually.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll get there. Okay. All right. So spook month is almost over.
Yes.
Good. I'm glad it is.
Patient Players not almost over, just beginning.
Patient Players is almost over.
Oh no. When the clock strikes midnight, we turn into pumpkins.
Unbeknownst to Daniel. Yeah, the podcast actually turns into a pumpkin, along with the server and all the files.
In my closet, there's just a rotting pumpkin with, like, an Ethernet cable plugged into it.
Is our podcast the equivalent of a rotting pumpkin?
Well, if I leave it there. If it turns into a pumpkin in my closet and I don't know it's there.
Well, now you know it's there, so just check.
Okay, I'll check every day.
On the midnight of Halloween.
Would that be
no not November of it?
Okay, so the midnight it turning on to Halloween, the beginning of Halloween,
yes, the very first minute.
But here's a question: when Halloween's over, will the pumpkin server turn back into a server?
Yes. So no one try to listen to our podcast for Halloween.
It's gonna be too spooky.
It's gonna be what day is Halloween? 31st.
Yeah,
on a Thursday. Year. Oh, okay. So yeah, so you'll be good because our podcast will come out on the 2nd.
Well, but maybe they've waited. Maybe they've held back next week's episode. Next week is the Halloween episode. What the heck?
Yay.
What is going on with this world? This is crazy.
Have you gotten with your friends to give us a Halloween rendition of our intro yet?
No, I have not been on that. I'm a slacker. I'm sorry.
Dang. I'll just do it right now. How was that?
That was great. Can you just clip that? Put it on repeat.
I'm not, no, just that like 3 second segment.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Oh man, how's your week been?
It's been great. You know what I did this week?
What did you do this week?
I went to the Texas Fair, State Fair. Ooh. Of Texas.
Wait. So the thing you did a few weeks ago, when you got the cookies, was what?
Well, I got the cookies.
Candles. You got the candles for a cause thing.
Where was that? We were doing a product photo shoot.
Okay, but there was another thing you did that was like a Wasn't it like a remembrance event for your small Texas town?
Yeah, the parade of Ovilla Heritage Day parade.
Why is everyone so celebratory in your small Texas town? There's like fairs and...
Well, I mean, the fair was like Disney World or Disneyland, except instead of Disney, it's just Texas. So it was okay. It was Texas land.
What were the mascots?
Big Tex.
Did you get a picture with Big Tex?
I did. I got a pic with Big Tex, and I got a pic of Big Tex's big booty.
Oh, okay.
Did I not send that to you?
Maybe you did. I don't think you did.
Oh, shoot. I'll send it to you.
Cool. I look forward to the picture of you and Big Tex's booty.
Oh, I'm not in it. Oh, I should have been in it. Like, my family was like there, so I really didn't want to pose with his butt.
It's like that dude who goes to the Magic the Gathering tournaments and squats next to people who are showing off their butt crack.
Oh, yeah.
Just do that, but with mascot butts.
That guy's a hero.
Did you know he got banned from Magic tournaments for a very long time, and then, like, last year sometime was allowed back into them and just immediately kept doing what he was doing?
That's awesome. What a weird hobby.
It's made him more famous than us.
I can't find Big Tex's butt.
I don't Google that.
The big Texas. That's funny. Because it's Texas. His name is Big Tex. Uh-huh. But plural, it's like Texas.
So how was the state fair besides the butt?
It was great. I had so many fried foods. We rode rides. Had some more fried foods. I had a fried peanut butter and jelly and banana sandwich.
Ooh. I've done something similar myself using a panini grill, but a panini grilled peanut butter and jelly sandwich is an excellent dessert.
Yeah, it was pretty desserty.
It's like a warm, the peanut butter gets all melty and warm, and the jelly's all warm, and then the bread's all toasted and crunchy. It's super good.
This was like a, it tasted like a funnel cake. Like okay. the bread they used.
Okay.
So it might have been just funnel cake with peanut butter and jelly on it.
That sounds more like fair food than a peanut butter and jelly panini.
But was quite fair.
Shout out to a panini grill. Secret I learned in college, a panini grill is a magic way to take every single sandwich and make it 10 times better. It's like cheating for cooking. Or not cooking, sandwich making. I don't know what the verb is for sandwich making.
Semi-shaking.
You're gonna give that another shot there?
Sandwich making. I tried to combine the word, but when it's already... Well, yeah. Sandwich making isn't really like a good way of combining those two words.
No, they're not very similar at all.
Sandwich sand making. There we go.
Okay.
Hi, I'm a sand maker.
Grapes fries,
I'm
Jordan the
Grapes
sand maker.
Grapes fries, Jordan the sand maker. And this is my co-host, Wrench Koala, sand maker.
Panini griller.
I like it.
You know, before we move any further, I have to address a travesty from the last episode in which I completely forgot to follow up about the cookies. Two weeks ago, I went quite in depth on a cookie club available through Tiff's Treats that I was just recently exploring.
This episode brought to you by Tiff's Treats. They're the tiffiest.
I wish that we had a sponsor, period. But also, a cookie sponsor would be amazing. But no. No sponsors here. Only delicious cookies. You can go
only
back and listen to that
episode. Only
love and
funk in cookies.
Last week, there was a moment of revelation at the end of the episode where I realized I forgot to talk about the cookies. So, follow up to 2 weeks ago. Last time on Patient Player's Cookie Saga, I had tried to just buy some cookie deliveries and accidentally got signed up for a $50 premium club with free delivery, and I had to get it canceled and then bought the cookies. Well, about 9 days later, I was sitting there in a Bible study my church has, and it was really cold and it had been a long day, and I was sitting there thinking, man, I just want a warm treat. I'm gonna stop by, like, get a free donut from Krispy Kreme or something on the way home. And then I realized I could order cookies, and they could just be at home when I get home, and there would be hot, fresh cookies.
Wait,
I totally did it.
They leave them on your doorstep or like in your mailbox?
Well, Marion was home, so.
Yes.
So someone would have been there to receive the cookies. And because it takes them about an hour to get them to you, and so I would have been home either right around the time they brought them or right at, right. I would have gotten home right before. So I was sitting there and I was thinking, you know, realistically, if I've already done this twice in 2 weeks, I'm probably going to end up doing it another 4 or 5 times at least in the next year, more likely more than that. And so I went ahead and pulled the trigger and I bought the Premium Cookie Club 2 weeks ago. And so far we've used it twice. And I'm very afraid at how often I'm going to be eating cookies. And I think it's very bad for me. But that's okay because they are the best cookies I've ever had. They're so good.
Well, shoot.
We used Sounds it for the like second time last night.
I need to beeline my way down to your house and get me some cookies.
They're so good. We got 6 peanut butter and chocolate chip cookies and 6 M&M cookies last night.
I love peanut butter cookies.
They're so good.
They're the best.
Now there are, so we got 12 cookies last night, and there are now 8 of them sitting on top of my fridge waiting for a delicious moment to eat cookies.
Okay, do you have them with milk, or do you just eat cookies like plain and dry?
I get like a little bowl, like smaller than a cereal bowl, like a tiny little bowl, and I fill it with milk, and then I dip the cookies in the bowl.
Ooh, very smart. They should make like a cookie dipping like bowl where it's like, you know, kind of elongated like a cookie, but still kind of tall. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. And you could have it be like really narrow so you don't use too much milk.
That's what I'm saying.
Get on that, man.
Oh, man. This shoot.
Jordan Cookie Dipper, Grapes Fries.
No, Patient Players. We got to advertise the brand.
Oh, so it's the Pee Pee Dipper.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Now I'm just sad. I loved my idea until you called it the Pee Pee Dipper. Okay. So, I don't even know where to go from there, honestly.
I've had a bum week because I've been sick all week. It sucked.
You've been sick?
I've been sick all week.
Wait, really? Yeah, we haven't talked very much this week.
I was honestly wondering if the podcast is one of the reasons you haven't been talking to me as much, because it seems like you have a lot going on in the realm of video games, and I've just been not hearing any of it. No.
So I just don't tell you anymore until Saturday.
Is that what's going on?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay, okay.
I haven't seen you online like any night, so I'm just like, I guess I'll just do my own thing. And also some nights I've been working late, so.
Yeah, I've just been real sick. Not real sick. I was sick enough to work from home 1 or 2 days during the week. I went into work one day, or I went into work twice, and the one day I just straight up took off halfway through all that. I was like, I'm tired of trying to battle feeling sick. I'm just going to take off the whole day and use some of my time off. And my plan was to take some naps throughout the day, because usually when I'm really sick, I'll like wake up, spend a few hours awake, take a nap, wake up, eat lunch, spend a few hours awake, take another nap, wake up, spend a few hours awake, eat dinner, drink plenty of water, and then like go to sleep. And taking 2 or 3 naps throughout the day will really, really help me recover quickly. So that was my plan, and I woke up.
Let me guess what actually happened.
What happened?
Was it Mountain Blade, Warhammer, Warhand? War
so close.
Warham. War slice of ham.
No, it was none of those things.
Ah, it was... Castle Land 2. Cookies for life. I don't know.
I want to play that game. Remember last week when I was like, oh man, I got the itch to play Mountain Blade, but I fought it off by playing Batman.
Blade. Wait, is that what I said? What did I say?
Mountain Hand? I don't know.
Ah.
You were really dedicated to the hand thing. You were like, hand, ham, hammy?
Because it's like colon, hand, hammer. Dual hammers.
Mountain Blade Warband.
Ah, it's not even hand! Ah!
No, you're wrong. It's not hand. I was trying to tell you that. You were War really hand. Insistent. Warband.
Dang it.
So, last week I was talking about how I almost jumped back into that time sink of a game that I love so much, but I played some new stuff instead, like Batman. I was just sick, and that's one of my favorite games to play when I'm sick. I did make it past a year. Remember how I hadn't launched the game in a year?
Mm-hmm.
This past Wednesday. I launched it on Thursday. That was the day I took off and was real sick. And then I think I played for like 7 hours straight.
Wait, so you made it a year and a week or a year and a day?
A year and a day.
Well, you should have just launched it on a year.
I don't know.
Just complete the circle of life right then and there.
I made it past a year and then I cracked and I played 7 hours in a single day. Maybe more because I got off after like 7 hours and did other stuff and then came back for an hour or two.
But, nice,
man. I wish you liked that game.
I wish you liked Terraria as much as you like Mountain Hammer Warhand.
To be fair, the one time I did play with Terraria with you, it also was like 7 hours in a row.
Yeah,
so.
But that was like, that was one time like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Why is Texas State Fair an itty bitty text? Sorry, this is bogging me.
One, what is up with your speech today? You keep like barely missing some phrases.
I know. I woke up maybe like less than an hour ago.
No.
I actually late. Woke up at 10 and then I was like, I don't have anything else to do. I'm going to go back to sleep. And I had a sick dream about like people like fighting on a cruise ship and me and some people had to escape through like the trash chute. And then someone almost suffocated because they jumped out of the trash chute. But then the boat was like in the air. And so we landed on top of a building and they almost suffocated because there was a puddle of water on top of the building. And they landed in it. it was a dream, but it was really fun to wake up. I was like, that was a great adventure.
Wow. You're just starting the morning off right. Just ready to go. Jeez.
Heck yeah. However, my speech.exe has not fully booted yet, I suppose. Ah,
so you're still warming that part. The cache has to build.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Both in my head and also real life.
Welcome to the land of the living. Half of your dream, the being on a ship, an airship, and going through the trash chute ended up sounding a lot like the end to Pirates Band of Misfits, the claymation film. It's a good film.
With is it with the meme where he's like, yes, but also no, or something?
Yes. I'm not going to complete that.
Cause I was waiting for you to... I was like, is he going to do it? But then I guess it wouldn't be true.
Correct.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a great film. I've seen it probably 4 times. I would suggest it to anyone. It's hilarious.
It is a good film.
It has a Flight of the Conchords song in it that is beautiful.
You were actually the one that showed it to me.
Did we watch it together or did I just show it to you?
No, we watched it together.
I don't remember this.
We have not watched very many movies together in our entire lifetime, and that is one of them.
Just like this time we watched Stitch the movie together.
Heck yeah! Stitch the movie! That's my jam! Friggin' Stitch has a glitch. Friggin' Lilo and Stitch, Leroy and Stitch. Lilo and Stitch 2, which is different than all of those.
And we played all the DVD games together that one time.
Oh, that was so much fun.
That was great.
That was at your friend's house up here, up in Dallas, right?
No, that was at my grandma's house in Austin.
Oh, well, hi, Grandma.
It was right after you guys had Cat.
Yay! Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Anyways. Whew. So that's what's been going on with me. I've been sick. I've been playing Mountain Blade. I've been playing some other games. But what have you been doing in the world of video games? You keep texting me like there's so much going on.
What have I been doing? Actually, like honestly, like me doing has not been a lot of doing this week. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. Please explain.
But there's been a lot of happening, but not necessarily me doing.
Okay, so stuff going on.
Yes. However. How are you ready? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. I'm
are
so
you
ready.
So excited?
Give me
yesterday,
the news.
I mean, you already know, but yesterday was the launch of Nintendo Switch Ring Fit Adventure, baby.
What was the name we gave it?
Nintendo Spanko?
Yeah, Nintendo Spanko official launch.
Nintendo Spanko launch, the ring exercise game where you have a rubber ring, and the trailer for it was really uncomfortable, and people were sitting around watching their friends do like thigh exercises with a rubber
ring. Didn't we find out later that there is actually a party mode though?
Yes, so there is like a party mode.
Completely infeasible.
You still are like on the ground doing push-ups in front of your friends and like putting the ring between your thighs and squishing it.
Check out my thigh strength.
Birth canal simulator. Anyways, I got it yesterday. It's a lot of fun, actually.
Oh, good.
For a video game based around exercising. It's a lot of fun, and it was I like was sweating profusely, like so much more than Wii Fit ever made me did. That what?
Go on, don't worry about it.
What are you gonna say, huh?
Look, you're not good at speaking this morning, okay? I'm not gonna judge you. You already told me why.
I said sweating profusely more than Wii Fit did. I mean, it was hard to sweat more during Wii Fit unless you went for like an hour playing like the dancing game, which I would totally do.
I mean, you could. That's only if you stuck with the games. If you did the yoga or the strength exercises, those could make you sweat.
Yeah. So,
but this is like an actual game, And it includes working out, and it's really fun, you said?
It does, yeah. And it's a lot of jogging in place, and it'll really take your breath away. And then there's, like, enemy battling, where you have to fight the enemies with exercises.
Nice.
And the first enemy I encountered, the little mascot is like, come on, let's warm up by giving this guy a smoothie blend of kale and punishment. I was like, wow, we've done it. We've made it in the world. This is the climax of humanity. And then you got, you know, you do like the ab guards where you push the ring against your stomach and you're like, and you take less damage. Thing? Oh my word. It was so fun. And I was sad how pooped I was, 'cause I wanted to keep playing.
Is it like a reactive block like Paper Mario?
No, you just have to squish that ab guard against your abs. While you flex.
Well, that's good, though. That means that if you played until you got tired out and couldn't play anymore, that's how you build endurance. That means you'll be able to play more next time.
Heck yeah. Like I said in that one episode, my character is leveling up just like me leveling up in real life.
You're grinding your own stat points.
Yes. It was so much fun, and I loved it.
Cool. So it sounds like a strong recommend then, right? You would recommend Ring Fit Adventure?
I guess so.
Why would you not recommend Ring Fit Adventure?
That's an even better question. I can't think of any reasons.
Well, with the accessory, it's a little more expensive than a normal game, right?
That's like probably, yeah, that's probably why I was like hesitant, because I think it's, is it 80 or is it 70?
I don't know. I thought it was 80, but I'd have to look it up to confirm.
I don't know, because I got it for 55.
Ooh.
Thanks,
you have,
to
like the Best Buy reward thing?
Yeah, thanks to gift cards and a program that Best Buy closed down about a few years ago, where if you buy it for a year, you get like a big percentage off every brand new video game purchase.
Wow.
For 2 years. And so I've made my money on it like five times over by now.
Nice. But you won't be able to renew it then, right?
Yeah, because they canceled the program. Actually, when they announced they were canceling it, I went out and bought another 2 year one as soon as I could, because they said if you still have one, then it'll last until it's over. And so I said, oh, I gotta get on this before it goes away.
So you just renewed for another 2 years immediately? That's
yep
fine.
Like the month it was canceling.
So I think I'm gonna do the big brain plays here, the real patient player plays, and realize that just like most exercise pieces of equipment, it's going to be purchased by well-intentioned people that are going to use it twice and then realize they never want to use it again. And that's when I come in swooping in and picking up the cheapo Ring Fit Adventure. That sounds like my plan.
Nice. I have a friend who works at a thrift store, mm-hmm. and he says that there are just dozens of Wii Fit boards just all the time.
I think my parents still have my old one somewhere.
That's awesome.
I took the Wii, so I don't even know why they have it. Maybe I got rid of it. I don't actually know.
What if your dad uses it as like a fancy like wipe your feet off at the doorstep mat?
It would be really bad at that.
Well, it would fit with his technological advancements in his house.
You know, I think it's Bluetooth, so I'm pretty sure you can find third-party drivers to hook it up to a PC, and people have, like, weird applications on there you can control with your body weight while you're standing on this board.
I could totally see your dad doing that. He's up, like, on stage preaching, and he's like, oh, I gotta go to the next slide, and he, like, leans to the right, and it's like...
That would be so hard to control consistently. You're like accidentally paging through your entire presentation.
Or like it's like the dance game where you know where you step on all the way and then step off all the way. That's what he does just to advance the next slide. He steps on and then steps off.
Just getting a nice like sweaty sheen while he's up there.
Yeah. I think this is good. I think we can market this also as the pee-pee stepper.
Next to the pee-pee dipper in mm-hmm. stores now.
In store, wherever pee-pees are sold.
It's like right next to the as seen on TV section, but it's like as seen on PP.
As seen on PP. I don't want to go to that section if it's in any store, to be honest.
Too bad you made the section, Jordan. You are the patient player.
I am the PP section. Okay. Oh, so was it last week that we did the Guess the Tune game, or was that 2 weeks ago?
No, that was last week. We haven't gotten to the emails. We got to see what people emailed in.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that was last week.
Yeah, we got to see what people have guessed. So we're going to hold off on that one.
Okay, I thought it was 2 weeks ago.
And so I was like, oh no, we forgot to tell them what the mystery tune was.
Maybe it was, but I think it was just last week. So the actual thing happened 2 or 3 weeks ago, but then we forgot to talk about it. But I think the contest has only been going. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Now, one thing that has happened since last week. You remember I was just ripping discs last week, last Friday, before mm-hmm. the podcast. I was
GameCube games,
pulling
right?
off some old GameCube games. Yeah. I've played, actually, besides Mountain Blade, which I've played for a lot of hours, the other thing I did this week was I played a bunch of GameCube games. I got more into Mario Baseball. I've just been playing that a game or two here or there. And then I've been chugging along in Paper Mario The Thousand Year Door, and that game is incredible. And also with the Dolphin hardware upgrades with the higher resolution, playing that on a modern monitor with modern frame rate and resolution, the art in that game is all just like clever paper sprites anyways. It feels like a modern game, and it's super good. I could see a HD remake, which makes me really bummed because I'm pretty sure the people who would do that kind of thing just went out of business when the Mario and Luigi remakes didn't sell well.
No.
But I don't think Paper Mario and those folks are done by the same team, but it's very similar. I mean, those games are very, very similar, and they even had the crossover game Paper Jam, and those Mario and Luigi remakes did not do well, so I don't think that they would spend the time and money to remake Paper Mario, but man, I wish they did. In the meantime, I'll just keep playing my ripped GameCube game.
People have been asking for a remaster of that game for a long time.
I would love a double pack of both games, because the first one is super good, too.
The first Paper Mario?
Yeah, on Nintendo 64. I have it on the Virtual Console.
Oh, yeah. Where you had the fight with Bowser at the beginning. And
yeah.
I played that one. That was really fun.
The format is very, very similar to the second one, but it's really fun. They're both great. Though I did not realize, I played the first one when I was a kid, and I knew that you had like the active. So Paper Mario is a turn-based battle game, and whenever you select your attack on the enemy or the enemy is attacking you, not only does the attack just go off, but if you hit the A button with the correct timing, you can like enhance the power of your attack, or you can block the enemy and lower the damage of their attack. So it's a little bit more involved than your typical turn-based. I did not realize that in the second game, even though I've played most of the second game, I don't think I ever realized that they added a new mechanic to that where if you hit the B button with even more precise timing, not only do you block, but you actually counterattack. Did you know that?
Ooh, no.
Yeah, so in Thousand Year Door, not only can you hit A to block an enemy attack, but with even more precise timing, if you hit the B button, you'll block, and then you'll actually spin them around and do one damage to them and counterattack them.
Nice.
And it's been really hard to do, but really fun.
That's a good game.
It is a really good game.
I have not played it. I don't know why I'm saying that. That's a good game from what I've heard. And I've been holding off on like playing it through alternate means because I want to buy it. So like I'm just waiting for them to make a remaster, if ever.
Yeah, I don't know. You might be holding out hope for a long time unless they put GameCube games out on some sort of virtual console.
Oh, and they already said they're not going to do that. Which hopefully they go, yeah, they did like officially announce that a long time ago.
Aww.
So hopefully they go back on their word on that one.
That makes me so sad. The GameCube has the best games.
Oh, this was years ago they announced this. No. Where, like, when it first came out, they said no, we won't be doing GameCube games on this service.
Oh, like when it came out for the Wii?
No, when it came out for the Switch.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah, the NES one. So
that's a bummer.
But hopefully they'll be like, hey, that was a dumb thing to say. Why don't we throw them into the online, and then maybe you pay like an extra $5 a month for GameCube access.
I don't know. I've always heard that the best Zelda game is the Zelda game you played when you were 12. And I think that just holds true for Nintendo consoles in general, that like no matter which consoles actually have the better games or are better or are worse, the best console is the one that you played when you were 12. And so to me, I think back to all those fun GameCube games I always thought it was just nostalgia, but now that I've gone back and played Mario Baseball and played Sonic Riders and Metal Arms and Thousand Year Door, I'm like, no, the GameCube was amazing. I don't get why the GameCube is not often seen as legitimate in a lot of people's eyes, or not illegitimate, but that it's seen as kind of a failure of a console.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. Yeah, with a lot of games, you'll go back and play it and be like, wow, this was much better back then. You know?
Yeah.
Where you'll know it's like objectively not that great of a game.
Right.
But then you got games like Zumbiniville, oof, where you play it again and you're like, nah, this is as much of a masterpiece now as it was back then.
Only the real classics.
Only the real classics like Zubinis, Freddy Fish, Putt-Putt, Fatty Bear, Pajama Sam. You know what I'm saying?
The real classics.
Did you play any of these?
I played Putt-Putt.
Okay.
And I think that's... And Zumbinis, and I think that's it.
Zumbinis!
Hey, you haven't mentioned at all. What's going on with the Oculus? You leave me on the edge of my seat from last week. How is the...
Hold on, actually. I'm going to need you to stall for about, like, 1 minute. Okay, so, quick story. My sister got her wisdom teeth taken out yesterday. And then my family left for a trip to Missouri, and it's just me and her, and she needs help with something. So, stall for me, Daniel.
I believe in you. Talk okay. Okay. I'll talk about me and Jordan last night. We were playing some video games. We booted up some Heroes of the Storm. It's so sad that game's dying. It's really fun. You should play it and make it not die if you haven't played it yet. It's very good. It's a free video game. It's the easiest to play MOBA. It's a good game.
It is a good game. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
What are we talking about?
Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it is a good game.
Yeah, we played it last night.
We did. We lost a lot.
But we won twice, which is all that mattered.
I guess so. It was like two. It was like we went 2-5, maybe. No, 2-3. 5 total. Right?
Yeah, but those 3 in a row were kind of brutal.
Yes. Okay, where were we? Oh, the Oculus.
Oculus. What's going on with the Oculus?
What's going on? What do you mean?
How is it?
Oh, it's great.
Cool. Are you glad you switched?
Yeah. Yes. 1,000,000,000,000,000,000%. Not okay. Like I put it on and I could tell absolutely no difference from there being room cameras, which I mean is the point.
Yeah. What about the resolution? It's supposed to have crazy high resolution.
I thought it was supposed to have worse resolution
than the Quest, but not the original Rift had crap resolution compared to these two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I still wasn't impressed.
Okay. I always think back to when I try to use like those desktop screen applications, like big screen, and I would pull up a window and look at text, like a browser window, or I'd pull up like I do some computer coding or something, and I'd be sitting in VR with this giant screen in front of me, and I couldn't read any of the text because the resolution was not quite high enough. I'd have to increase the font size really high. I wondered if the upgraded headsets would let me do something like that more easily.
I played a lot of big screen, and it was still kind of hard to read things that were far away, unless it was like super close to me. So
yeah,
man, big screen is. I had a lot of fun at big screen though.
Were you just hanging out with random people, or just on your own?
No, just me. You know how antisocial I am.
Yeah, that was going to surprise me.
Just watching some videos, some YouTube videos.
Have you ever heard the story of me trying to show my sister-in-law that program?
No.
Oh my goodness, it's so funny.
Your sister-in-law?
Yeah. So who's... my...
Oh, your wife's sister.
Yes.
Okay. I was like, how does Daniel have a sister-in-law?
I'm married.
I was like, he would need a brother. Okay, I get it. Okay.
So I don't have permission from her to talk about her on the internet in front of strangers. So I'm going to call her Megan just as a fake name. So let's say Megan came over and it was me and Marion, and I had just gotten the Oculus Rift and I was showing it off to all my friends. I'm like, check out this thing. It's super cool. And Megan didn't typically like hang out with us at my house. It was usually if I was over there visiting my wife, who was then my girlfriend, if I was visiting her, I would hang out with both of them. But there was some reason where she needed us to drive her somewhere or something. She was hanging out with us and we're like, come check out this headset. So we put it on. We did the typical, hey, you know, do the one where you stand there and a dinosaur roars at you. Do the one where you're using your hands to like throw knives at balloons at a circus and stuff like that. Just showing her off the basic stuff. And then I was like, okay, I know she's not super into games that much, but I want to show her how cool this technology is. But she is into like hanging out with friends and doing social stuff. So let me show her how cool it is to do big screen where you're talking with someone and it's just like person to person in VR, but they're not in the room with you, and like how cool that feels. So I just go into big screen and I was like, there's a bunch of rooms open of people who are like watching movies together and stuff like that. And I didn't want to interrupt anyone. So I was like, well, let's just open a room and then people can come in, because people just, whenever I've done big screen before and opened a public multiplayer room, that people will just come in and say hi. So I went and I like opened a room on big screen, and I was like, I don't know, it just, I want people to meet my sister-in-law. And so I was like, come meet Megan, she's really fun.
Uh-oh.
I posted it. And my wife was like, Daniel, what are you doing? Because as you can imagine, that type of phrasing may not bring the crowd that you're interested in.
Yeah, that's very true.
And she was like, what's going on? I'm like, don't worry. I didn't tell her that like random people were about to come in. And I don't know why I didn't tell her. Nowadays, I probably would have warned someone before dropping them into a public chat room with a stranger. But then some random guy joined, and she's like, oh, who is this? Why can I hear them? And I'm like, they can hear you. She's like, they can hear me. She starts like whispering to us. She's like, I don't know who this person is. And then the person on their side was just like, their microphone was a mile away from them, and they were like talking to somebody else in the room, and they're like, I can't find the telly. Where's the telly?
Oh man.
So we all exited out of the room and laughed about it, and we had a good joke for a year or two of can't find the telly.
Wow, I was really scared that story was gonna go so much worse.
No, we got out lucky. I Ooh. Didn't realize what an idiot I was being when I set up the room for her, but oh my gosh, that was so funny.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I was really scared of how that story was gonna end.
Everyone I've met on big screen now, granted, I haven't been in there in a year or two, but when it had first come out and I was first using it, every single person I met was like super nice and friendly, and no one was creepy. So I think it's a good place to hang out. And I imagine VR chat is where all the weirdos go, but it's probably changed in the last few years as more and more people have gotten VR.
Nice. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. yeah. As more creeps are able to afford VR for for whatever they wish to use it for.
When it had first come out, it was really just people who were super enthusiastic about VR, so it was all computer nerds. Like, at one point, I joined a random person's room, and he was playing Doom on his screen.
Oh, that's awesome.
I just
awesome.
Sat there with my own screen in front of me, working on, like, a college assignment I had for computer programming. And then he, like, looked over, and he was like, oh, was that this language? I used to know that. And then we started talking about it, and I, like, put my screen up for him to look at this problem I was working on. And then a third guy joined, and he was like, oh, I haven't coded in this language in forever.
That's awesome.
It was a good time.
That's awesome, and sounds like a great experience socializing with strangers.
which you are absolutely not interested in.
This, wow, I'm just so socially, like, turned on right now to this idea. Which is a new phrase, but I digress.
We can host our podcast in VR.
Wait, oh, that'd be kind of cool, actually.
Sometimes live audience.
I'll be like on Discord with Kyle and the boys, and they'll be like, "Hey, by the way, you're super quiet," and I'll realize that it's using my Rift microphone, like from across the room.
Oh, that happens to me too.
Yeah, so I leave it unplugged now because that is the worst.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it's a lot easier to do that when you just plug in one thing and not all the cameras and all the other nonsense.
Mm-hmm. It's yeah, I love not having the cameras to set up.
Now, there's one thing that is shockingly missing from your description of the Oculus. Have you not played Vader Immortal Episode 2?
No, I had to buy it.
Okay.
Because they sell them on a per-episode basis.
Okay, so you don't have the whole season...
I did buy it, and I downloaded it, but as I was downloading it, the reviews were like, it's good, but not as good as the first one. So I wasn't too... I'm still going to play it, absolutely, but I just didn't play it right then and there.
Maybe you'll only cry once instead of twice.
I mean, I'm fine only crying once. I mean, no, dude, like, if we rated things on, like, a cry count basis,
mm-hmm.
I would say cry once is a pretty good review, you know? I think I cried once during, like, Infinity War Part 2.
That's, you mean Endgame?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I don't remember if I cried during that movie. Movies used to make me cry a lot. They still do sometimes, but not as much.
Well, maybe you're just heartless.
I always remember kind of a low point when I was, like, a young man, and you want to be known for being tough, and obviously whether it's correct or not, socially crying is not often seen as tough, and I know that like men can show their emotions, and I'm certainly someone who cries all the time, but I was in that impressionable age where I thought crying was not going to be appropriate at a children's movie, and I cried at Finding Nemo.
Oh.
And I hated it, but it was a sad part.
I hated it.
It was the part whenever they have that fight, and then like Marlin leaves Dory, and she's all sad, and I was just so sad.
Wait, Marlin? Wow, I haven't seen Finding Nemo in so long.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot Marlin leaves Dory. I thought it was Dory. No. Yeah, I don't remember that.
They have a big fight, and he leaves, and then she forgets what she was doing because she's Dory.
Thanks, Marlin, you big jerk.
It was flashbacks to original Finding Nemo.
Clownfish only care about one thing. It's disgusting.
It's their son.
Finding their family after their wife got murdered by a bigger fish.
Exactly.
Cue Qui-Gon Jinn.
There's always a bigger fish.
So a little bit of Oculus time, a lot of Ring Fit time, a lot of working. Anything else you've been doing?
The Overwatch Spoopy event started this week.
Oh, did it? I thought They just announced it. I didn't realize that it started.
Yeah, it did start. You can get free, pretty good-looking skins each week for playing and winning games.
Sweet.
That's basically it, honestly. They didn't really add anything else new.
There's zero new? Not even new mode, new characters in the mode, nothing?
Yeah, not even new characters in the old mode. So,
not even new achievements?
Nope.
Whoa!
Yeah, they're really not doing anything new besides the skins. The skins look great, though. But speaking of spoopy events and video games...
Yes.
Did you hear about Scream Fortress XI?
I mean, that's the Team Fortress Halloween event they do one every year. Is it special?
I don't know. I was going to ask you about it.
I have not looked into it at all. They do one every year, and that's why it's XI. It's the 11th one. They've been doing it for years.
Wow, that's a lot of Halloween events.
Yes. They've all been... They were fun, and they had like the boss encounters at first. I don't know if they still do.
Oh, the Headless Horseman?
Yeah, the Headless Horseman, and then they had like the Wizard Marasmus, and those were really hard and kind of cool, and they always have some weird gimmick to them. And then they got really weird. There was one where like you get everyone in the game randomly stops playing Team Fortress and gets teleported to like bumper cars, and they hit each other with bumper cars, and rubber ducks come out.
What?
I'm not even exaggerating. That was literally one of them, and I think that was like 5 or 6. I haven't been paying attention since then.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it adds 2 new community maps. It adds the spooky spoils case. 20 new community created effects.
So the cool thing about the Halloween events is that there are a whole subset of cosmetics in Team Fortress that are restricted to only during Halloween or when there's a full moon. Like an actual full moon. I think it allows them to add crazy stuff to the game that you wouldn't want in every game. Like there are... people turning their heads into giant bird heads, for example, is fun, but a little over the top ridiculous every game to have people with just giant bird heads. But
you know, everyone would.
Once a month with the full moon or when there's a crazy Halloween event, sure, give people xenomorph heads and bird heads and crazy zombie arms to hit people with. Like, I think it's a good restriction, and it's so well paced. It makes sense, like full moons, and also the full moon only happens like once, maybe twice a month. So,
I didn't know about the full moon. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So if there's ever a full moon out, you can play Team Fortress and you can use all your Halloween items.
That's pretty clever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, lots of spooky events and video games going on right now. Still waiting for the Borderlands 3-1 to start.
Have they announced they have one?
Yeah, they announced it like 4 weeks ago. So, don't know why they're just not doing it yet.
Wait for it to be like a 2-day only event or something crazy.
It's like a full like original story pack that everyone will get to play for free.
Oh, cool! With, like a tiny bosses. Story DLC.
Yeah, but you can only play it during Halloween, or when it starts at least. So cool. I'm excited for that. I had to send a Joy-Con from my Switch in for repairs because of the infamous drift problem.
How'd that go for you?
And I got it back in like a week. which I thought it would be like a month and like and a half, but I got it back this week. I haven't tested it yet because I'm too scared to. But
what's the worst that could happen? You just have to send it back again, I guess?
Yeah, which was, it's just not fun to get a box and then put it in the box and then you have to follow all their excessive instructions like, please leave a paper inside with your name, address, and the problem, and then you have to go on the website. It's a hassle.
Yeah, it's a hassle.
It's a Hasselhoff.
I've heard that some of the Switch Lights have been getting in, and then you can't just send a Joy-Con in at that point because it's all attached.
That really sucks. Yeah, I cannot believe they didn't change the design for the lights. They just let them go out into the wild.
I mean, I guess they're going to figure the lights are more often than not going to kids that may not even notice. And then the second thing would be that, like, the amount of work you'd put in to redesign the entire controller, all the moldings, all the manufacturing, having two different models of the stick. And then it's like, do you only change it on the light, or do you re-add it back to the original Switches, and then do you get people who complain that they bought one without the new sticks? It's just a really complicated thing to change a piece on something like that.
You think that's more of a hassle for them to have to deal with giving out free repairs? And also the lawsuit that they're getting?
I don't know about the lawsuit. I'm sure that might change their mind, but I'm just thinking, I bet someone's done some numbers on how many of these people are affected, how many of them will even notice because they're kids specifically on the Switch Lite, or, you know what I mean? Like, I wonder if they did like a cost benefit and found that the backlash they didn't think would be as bad as the manufacturing cost to fix it.
Interesting.
Someone's looked at it somewhere and made a decision for some reason or another.
Someone somewhere has made a decision. That is very true.
You can only get these kind of insights from patient players, I'll have you know.
Hi, welcome to PP Insights. I'm your host, Garfunk Maffledoy.
Nice to meet you, Garfunk Maffledoy.
Good eye, mate. Oh, and Jackbox came out this week.
Oh, cool. Have you played it?
Nope.
Waiting on that one.
Yep.
The last one was a little disappointing.
The last one was incredibly disappointing.
The only good ones were the last one had the best one of all time, though. It did have the idea one. What was that called? The presenting one?
Oh, that was in the last one?
Yeah, that was in 5.
Oh, yeah, that one was really good. Patently Stupid.
Yeah, Patently Stupid is my favorite one, probably.
Patently Stupid.
Everyone was thrilled about that robot rapping one, and I didn't think it ended up being that great. It takes a lot of cleverness to compete in that one, and if you're not like a improv comedian, you're not going to come up with really funny rhymes.
Yeah, I love that one, but I have a lot of unoriginal friends. Oh, shoot. My friends are all great and special, and they are
the best listeners that we've ever had.
And they're super funny, too, when they do raps that don't rhyme and also aren't funny, and they win, and I get, like, super mad because I'm like, guys, mine was funny and my word. Yeah, I'm not very easy to play that one with because people will be like, "Oh ha, they made reference to this," and I'm like, "No, but what's the word for like the
cadence,
like, the words in the number of words per like per sentence?"
Yeah, I think syllables. Cadence would be appropriate. So, yeah, syllables.
Okay, yeah, where I'm like mine like all match up perfectly and then rhyme, and theirs are like.
You're not bitter about it at all.
I'm so bitter about it every single time.
And that's why you're waiting on Jackbox 6.
And that's why, yeah. The stand-up comedy one seems like a good way to get around the having to... There's a word! Is it... There's a word for it, I know. It's like the time, the rhyme in time.
Just tell me if you get it.
Oh, gosh. The time rhyme.
Oh, man. Hey, so there was some really big news that got emailed out yesterday about the Humble. We at Patient Players often talk about some of the deals you can get, especially the different services that offer you packs of games or free games, because it's a great way to grab old games you might have missed and things you waited on purpose at a really good price, really good deal. And the games are usually either just as good or even better because they've had bug fixes and patches and DLC and that kind of thing. But Humble Bundle is one that we've talked about a lot. I haven't used it in a couple months. I've been skipping, but then this month I'm staying subscribed for the Spyro and the Crash remakes as well as Call of Duty. But did you see their announcement yesterday?
No, you texted me about it too, saying, "Wow, big Humble news," and I never saw anything on it.
Oh, well, you're not currently subscribed, are you?
Nope.
Okay, you might want to change that. So here's what's happening: they're fundamentally changing Humble, the Humble Bundle subscription, into something they're calling Humble Choice.
The Humble Bundle Choice. This episode brought to you by Paul's Potatoes.
Part of the Humble Bundle Choice. So Humble Bundle Choice is no longer going to be a pack of random games that you only know a few of. Basically, they're going to announce 10 games every month. And depending on what level of subscription you choose, like $5, $10, $20, whatever, you get to choose a certain number of those. So you can choose 3 of them every month, or you can choose 9 of them every month. I think 9 is the highest. So there's always going to be at least one game you're missing out on. And that's their new subscription service. Now, that is going to be, I can go look up the prices again, but I believe it's like $5 for $5 gives you just a basic subscription, which gives you 20% off on the Humble store. 10% or 20% depending on what promotions they're running. Then I think it's like $7 or $8 will get you the basic package where you have 3 games you can pick out of their monthly. You get access to their Humble Trove where they have a bunch of kind of just games available for free at any point. There's like 100 little indie games. You know, even not just indie games. There's like Torchlight and some really good games there. And then it's like $15 and $20 I think are the next packs. And that's where you go up to like 5 or 6 games you can choose from, or 9 of the 10 games you can choose from. So the full price, if you wanted to continue getting everything like you could right now by signing up, it is increasing. It's going from the current $12 a month to $20 a month to get all the games. But you're getting 10 games and you get to know what all of them are in advance.
Oh, good. Can you still pause months, do you think?
I don't know. What I do know is that the reason I got an email is because I'm a current subscriber, and they are offering something called Humble Bundle Choice Classic, or Humble Bundle Classic. It's only available if you are an existing Humble Bundle subscriber when Choice launches. And they don't give a date, but they said Choice should launch by the end of the year. So if you are interested in this, you should sign up right away. What it will do for you is it maintains your current subscription. So either $12 a month monthly, or like $11 a month annually, or whatever the in-between one. I think it's like $11.50 for 6 months or something like that. So you can sign up for one of those existing Humble Bundle subscriptions, and then they will maintain that plan for you, and they will give you Humble Choice Classic, which is all 10 games every month.
Wow.
So
you choose all 10. You get all 10.
You get all 10. And I don't know for the normal subscription if this is true, but I do know for Classic, they are maintaining the ability to pause for a month. So that means that if you stay subscribed as I am, I'm subscribed monthly, so I'm paying $12 a month, or if I pause on a month, like I pause the last 2 months, I don't pay anything. And I can't, for those 2 months, my access to the other upgrades, like the 10% discount and the Humble Trove, those are turned off for those months. But as soon as a new month rolls around, I'm resubscribed and I don't have to pay for a month until I actually say pay. And I, as long as I keep pausing each month, I'm not actually paying for each month.
Is that an opt out or an opt in?
It is an opt out. So I am currently subscribed monthly. If I don't do anything, they'll charge me each month. But each month I can choose to opt out.
Gotcha.
And so that means I'm still a regular subscriber, which means I'm going to get rolled over automatically into this Humble Choice. So in the future, whenever they switch over to this new system, rather than paying $20 a month for 9 out of the 10 games, I will continue paying $12 a month for 10 out of 10 games, and I can choose to pause if I don't want to.
Wow. That sounds like an amazing deal, and I guess we'll have to see what games they actually are giving with that service.
Oh, and they specified, I think, that only one of them is going to be a Humble Original, just like it is right now. I'd have to go look at the details. They had a whole FAQ that I read through because I was trying to be prepared for the podcast, but I don't remember all the details. But they broke out kind of what they are trying to do game by game for all 10 of them each month. And I've been pleasantly surprised by at least one or two games each month with the current Humble Bundle. So the idea of this Choice Bundle sounds really nice to me. And if they, for most people coming in fresh, if they're increasing the price, I'm hoping it'll give them access to better games.
Interesting. That's really cool. I do like that a lot.
Yeah.
So I guess I should get back on the Humble Bundle.
Humble Monthly train.
If you jump on before October's over, you'll get Spyro and Crash and Call of Duty World War II, and then stay subscribed for however long you need to until Choice kicks in, and then you'll be on the Classic plan. If your subscription ever stops entirely, like if you break your subscription, not just pause it, then you don't have the option to go back into Classic. You have to sign up for one of the new options. But I'm gonna, my plan is to maintain the current subscription as long as I can and just pause each month, because $12 a month for 10 games, even if I'm only going to play one or two of them,
that's
really
still
nice.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And I mean the deal already by itself right now is amazing for the games they've been giving out.
Yeah, it's pretty hit or miss. Like some months, I don't know, there's maybe one that I don't even end up playing. Other months, it's like $12 for games I would have gone, you know, multiple games I would have gone and paid $20 to $40 each for.
Yep, like Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Like Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Surviving Mars, you know, Sonic Mania.
All the ones that ended up coming to all these other free services.
Yeah, Slay the Spire. I'm still waiting for Slay the Spire to come to free services so I can get it for free. Hey, speaking of free services, Daniel, you want to tell us what our free games of the week are from sponsored by Epic Games, except not actually sponsored by?
I haven't even looked at them.
You monster.
What are they?
Hey guys, it's me. It's your co-host, Grapes for Eyes Jordan. I'm here to tell you that this week you can pick up two free great games from Epic Games Incorporated. The first one is called Layers of Fear, which I don't know anything about. Do you know anything about?
No, Layers? That's why I didn't want to talk about it, because I hadn't looked at them at all.
I just kind of wrote the names down. I didn't actually look at them either. Oh, wait. No, sorry. This isn't this week. This week we already announced. This week is Observer and Alan Wake's American Nightmare. Did we announce these?
I don't think we did.
Shoot. Okay. Forget everything I just said. Hi, guys. I'm Grapes for Eyes Jordan. This week, you can pick up Alan Wake, the American Nightmare, which is a thrilling new storyline with hordes of creepy enemies.
You don't have to make it sound like an ad.
I don't?
Because it's not an ad.
Oh, well, I mean, they take all the time to write out the description, so I might as well read it. So Alan Wake is just it's kind of like a story game. I think it's like a shooter, but you're like shooting from a third person through a story.
Well, so this isn't just Alan Wake. This is Alan Wake American Nightmare. That's right. So Alan Wake, they actually gave out free a long time ago when they first started these free games things. So I have the original one in my library already. The American Nightmare is a smaller, cheaper sequel that is more action-focused. It's like a zombie survival thing.
Oh, but it's still, like, story-based, right?
I don't know. I don't think it's, like, a continuation of the first game as... It's definitely not as focused on story as the first game is, but you are playing the same character, but you are fighting zombies. It's not, like, an interesting writing plot.
Oh, okay. Well, you got that, and alongside that, you have a game called Observer, which is a cyberpunk horror game.
It sounds really familiar, but I can't remember where I've heard about Observer before.
It looks pretty legit. So go on and grab those free games and add them to your Epic Games collection. And then we'll announce next week.
Or if you're hearing this late, it's the Layers of Fear we talked about. And Cube 2, which I've played Cube 1.
Cube 2.
And it was enjoyable.
Those are available starting October 24th.
Okay. So it'll be right before we do our next episode.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, go get those free video games, because everyone loves free video games.
Indeed. Now, there are free-to-play video games, but these are free video games.
What other... Daniel, if I'm subscribed to Xbox Games for Gold, can you tell me what games I get for my 360 this month?
Oh, my goodness. So, last week we mentioned we never really talk about the Games for Gold because neither of us use it. But we do talk about PlayStation Plus, and we mentioned last month the baseball game and Last of Us Remastered are available for this month. Just out of curiosity, we looked up the Games for Gold before we started this, and I went to the wrong list, and I was seeing the games for the 360 and found, to my surprise, Disney's Bolt. An 11-year-old video game from 2008. So if you still have your 360 hanging around and you're subscribed to Games for Gold, go grab Bolt and tell me how that is. Oh man.
Let's just look up the score rating of Bolt.
I am going to say it's above an 80.
Really? I didn't think video games based off of movies can be good.
Metacritic Bolt. Let's see. Xbox 360 reviews on Metacritic. Please be good. Ah, 57. Crap.
That's not too bad. It's on Steam. It has mostly positive reviews with 27 total.
Oh, man.
Holy okay. crap. They have a Disney Games Mega Pack. $280.
On Steam?
Yes. With just all of these movies based off, all these games based off of movies.
Nice. Play through them all on Halloween.
It's
a real horror show.
$280. I guess the bundle saves you $120.
Nice.
So all these together is $400 worth of video game movies.
Worth of quality content.
Movie video games. Frick. Dang. Gosh. Pooper.
And then if you have an Xbox One, those are much more reasonable. There was Ninja Gaiden 3, Friday the 13th, the game, and Timbo the Badass Elephant, which I have not heard much about other than that it is a Game Freak game, more commonly known as the Pokemon developers, doing a non-Pokemon game called Timbo the Badass Elephant.
They really went far off of what they know.
They gotta strike it out every once in a while. They've been making Pokemon as long as I've been alive, so I don't blame them.
And they're working on another one currently, aren't they? Called, like, Village.
I think it's just called... It was originally just called a town, but I think they gave it a new name recently.
Oh, okay. Ooh, Budget Cuts is half off.
I actually already own Budget Cuts. I haven't played it yet, though.
What do you own it on?
I got it on the Humble VR sale, remember? When I got Fallout VR, I got that and Budget Cuts together.
Oh, so you have it on Steam?
Yes.
Yay, I can mooch off your copy. Woohoo, friendship.
Hooray. So I am just waiting on Pins and Needles to hear how the Quest pass-through works for the Oculus Quest and if I want to upgrade to that or wait for the Rift S for multiple reasons. The stars are kind of aligning where you got an upgrade. I've been thinking about it for a little bit. And with this news of the Quest getting the pass-through, if I can keep all of my current functionality but gain the ability to take it with me, that's a reason enough for me to upgrade. But on top of that, I've been in a position where I'm in need of a new laptop, and I've been trying to balance between, okay, should I buy just like something that can play Jackbox and open Word documents and browse the internet and is just light and easy, and you know, maybe I can install low graphics Heroes of the Storm or something on it and then just use it as a travel laptop. Or do I go all the way and spend a bunch of money and get a laptop capable of running VR so when I take my headset places, I can show people VR because I love doing that. And this kind of helps make that decision a lot easier because if I can still take the Quest places and show people VR without needing a laptop to do it, then I can buy a cheaper laptop. And also if I get the Quest and it frees up the ports on my computer that are currently used for the cameras, then I will actually have enough ports to plug in some backup hard drives that I've been trying to find a place for. So it would solve three problems all at once if I could get the Quest. I just don't want to commit to that until I know for sure that I can still do everything on Steam that I can with my current Oculus, because most of my VR games I bought on Steam since it was not closed off like the Oculus Store is. And so, like, I don't want to have to get a whole new headset to play Blade and Sorcery or any of those games. So I'm trying to... Do you know when that Quest upgrade comes out?
The Quest... The pass-through?
Yeah.
I didn't know if they'd announced a date.
I'm going to look it up real quickly. But that is what's been going on my mind with this laptop and Oculus stuff. I'm just waiting.
Just waiting.
So at this point would normally be the point where I start browsing through our email inbox and trying to see our email at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com, who has emailed us and responded to us to give us topics to go into or to make a fantastic guess and win the free pee-pee points on that mystery tune we played last week. I have shocking news, Jordan.
Oh, no.
We have no emails.
No.
Our listeners have failed us.
Are you telling me no one has emailed us at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com?
I'm telling you, that perhaps they accidentally emailed patientplayerspodcast@pmail.com like you told them to last week. Because obviously we are missing some important emails that were supposed to go to patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com.
Ah, shoot. We have none. But let me tell you, the patient players people over at pmail.com, they're like, oh, look at all these. We're famous. People want us to go on stage at PAX South 2020? Okay, we'll do it.
Ah, oh, man. How'd they get a panel when we couldn't? We tried so hard.
I know. But that's okay. You know, you win some, you lose some. But mostly you lose some.
Now, everyone listening right now, that feeling of disappointment and sadness you're feeling right now at not being able to read the emails, imagine that multiplied tenfold, and that's what I'm feeling about you for not emailing us.
Oh my gosh.
patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. So I don't know what else we'll go into. I guess you get an extension on the mystery tune. Do you want to play it again for him?
Oh, we're doing mystery tune extension 2.0.
Well, no one's won the points unless you want to make a guess, but I think that would be cheating, my friend.
Okay. Well, a quick rehash. It was midnight. Daniel called me, said, "What's this tune?" And we had to figure out what it was, and I have an audio clip of him singing it. So, what is this tune? Like, what was the question? What game is it from? Or what's the title of it?
Specifically, what game is it from originally, and when would the song play in the game?
Okay, here comes the tune. There it is.
Excellent. Email your guesses in for next week's podcast at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com.
And we'll read them on air.
Off air. What an episode.
It's been a good episode. It's been a good week.
Yeah. Looking forward to another good week of video games. You're gonna get nice and ring fit.
Yes, I'm going to be so freaking buff by next week.
Can't wait.
Yep, I can't either.
If I wasn't sick, I would be keeping up with you 100%, just on the floor, squeezing my thighs together.
Nice. I learned yesterday that my Apple Watch actually has an activity setting for gaming fitness.
What?
Can you believe it? I was going through all the options, like, okay, which one of these best resembles this little rubber ring? And it's like, gaming fitness. And I said, okay. That works.
That must be a new one because they haven't had that one I've checked in the past.
Nice.
Well, all right, my host, why don't you take us out of here?
All right. Thank you all for listening to this week's episode of Patient Players Podcast at gmail.com. We will see you next week for the official Halloween Spooky Month episode. So bring your ghost-busting vacuums. And your closest ghosty friends, because they will want to be there with us. See you later.